Welcome, welcome, and welcome, everybody, to another exciting broadcast here, Rob Zicari Show. I'm your host, Rob Zicari. So, I got to tell you, there's if there wasn't panic before, if there wasn't just complete hysteria before, there is today. Well, there was 8 hours ago. Figure when Vermont was called last night, the hysteria set in. The hysteria has set in so much that I just learned via the news that Mitt Romney is holding a press conference tomorrow morning. Mitt Romney, the guy that boxed Evander Holyfield. Remember that charity boxing event, and his man boobs were jiggling, and not Holyfield's man boobs, but Romney's man boobs. You guys remember that? Yeah, he's going to have a press conference tomorrow. That is how. I mean, there's so much to get to today. I mean, it's overwhelming. We should have a 9-hour program. Seriously, we should be doing 9 hours today. So, Super Tuesday was last night, and Jake Tapper, my good friend Jake Tapper. I know Jake Tapper. We go way back. We go about 15 years back. My good friend Jake Tapper labeled the day Trumper Tuesday. Kind of like that. Trumper Tuesday. Very creative, Jake Tapper. But it was Trumper Tuesday. Donald Trump won 7 states. 7. Ted Cruz. I know I do a lot of dramatic pauses. That's my style. I don't talk in a nasally voice. I do the dramatic pauses. That wasn't a dramatic pause. That was a brain freeze because I could not remember Ted Cruz's name. I literally could not remember Ted Cruz's name. But Ted Cruz won 3 states. And I'm not going to be your typical establishment Republican who denies wins and, well, if you put this one here or that one there. But I would kind of scratch Texas off just because it was his home state. I mean, he's supposed to win Texas. I mean, he's living in Texas. I mean, come on now. It's Texas. Ted Cruz is Texas. It's all about Texas. But, let's not take anything away from him. He won Texas. He worked hard to win Texas. He campaigned hard to win Texas. He's got more volunteers, everything to win Texas, he has. You know, when you're a senator in Texas, that operation is built in. Because you won Texas, you had to run a statewide campaign. But a win is a win. So Cruz wins Texas, and he wins neighboring Oklahoma. And then the last race was called at about, I think, 1 or 2 in the morning, and that's Alaska. And Cruz won Alaska by, I don't know what the count total was, but I think we're talking about 500 votes. I don't even know. And it's a caucus. Another one of them caucus things. Them caucuses. Eesh. So, Cruz wins 3 states. Trump wins 7 states. And little Marco Rubio wins 1 state, Minnesota, which had a caucus. It was kind of funky. I was seeing reports coming out of Minnesota and the way the caucuses were ran. I mean, again, when are they going to do away with caucuses? How's that? When are they going to do away with caucuses? Maybe this year. Maybe because this 2016 election is so unpredictable and so outside the norm, maybe this will be the time they can do away with the caucuses and they could kind of reshuffle and put together some new rules. I don't know. Who am I? I'm not Rantz Priebus. But that was the breakdown. Of course, Kasich didn't win anything, and Carson didn't win anything. So you had 7-3-1. Now, the big takeaway from Super Tuesday was the fact that Ted Cruz was supposed to lock up the nomination. Ted Cruz was supposed to lock up the nomination on Super Tuesday. His strength is the South. His strength is the evangelicals. And Ted Cruz didn't win the South. He didn't win the evangelicals. Matter of fact, some of them got blown out. You know, Trump, in the 3 states that he lost, which is Texas, Oklahoma, and Alaska, Texas was the only state where he lost, and it was a comfortable loss, meaning 10 points, which I would say is a comfortable loss. Ted Cruz won that comfortably, but Oklahoma was close, and Alaska was close. Now, Ted Cruz can't say the same thing on the states that he lost to Trump. Now, the states he lost to Trump were not very close. Some were. But if you take a state like Alabama, you're talking about Trump at 43%. Cruz at 21%, and Marco Rubio, little Rube, at 18%. That's a huge win. I mean that's not even close. That's getting hammered. I mean, that's putting Rubio not beating Trump. I mean, that's hammered. You know, that's just a hammering. That's just a huge, huge hammering. Georgia, talking about, you know, 39% to Rubio's 24%. I mean, you know, these states that Trump won, they were huge. They were huge wins. You know, the only state that Trump barely won, but still, a win is a win, and the spin on it was quite extraordinary, and that was Virginia. That was the state that Little Rube almost won. He almost won Virginia. It was one of those too close to call. Too close to call. Even though it was 8 points, it was still too close to call. Too close to call, 8 points. Too close to call, 6 points. Too close to call, 5 points. All right, we're calling it now. There was even a great moment if you were watching Fox where Karl Rove was predicting that it was going to come right down to the wire. And he was even leaning to Marco Rubio, pulling it out. And as he's talking, he gets interrupted with the call that Trump wins Virginia. And he starts, if Kasich wasn't in the race, that's the spin. That's the spin. Well, you know, if John Kasich wasn't in the race, his 100,000 votes or whatever the hell it was, 80,000, those votes would have gone to Marco and Marco would have won. Well, now we're back to the, well, if this person wasn't in the race and those votes would have gone to him. And, you know, not to go away from the states won and the states lost, which we're going to get to. But since we're talking about shuffling the votes, let me tell you something. In 2012, because remember, we're constantly being told, well, the field has to, consolidate around one candidate that's the anti-Trump candidate. The only reason Trump's winning is because there's all of these candidates. And listen, you realize in 2012, you basically had the same amount of candidates. 2012, for Super Tuesday, you had Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and Ron Paul. Those four guys were competing for votes. Matter of fact, after Super Tuesday in 2012, Mitt Romney won states. Rick Santorum won three states. Newt Gingrich won one state. Ron Paul won zero. Sounds very much like where we are today. Sounds very much like we are today. You can insert the names for Romney, Storm, and Gingrich, and Paul. You could easily won seven states. Rick Santorum won three states. Ted Cruz won three states. Newt Gingrich won one state. Marco Rubio won one state. Ron Paul won zero. John Kasich won zero. So this vote splitting, the whole acting like this has never happened before, is absolutely ludicrous. I don't remember, again, my memory foggy, but I don't remember anybody sitting in the pundit chairs and saying, well, you know, if Newt Gingrich would have
got out before Super Tuesday, those votes would have gone to Rick Santorum. And you see, Rick Santorum would have beaten Mitt Romney in this area and that area. So really, Mitt Romney's win wasn't really a win. Okay? Really, the winner is Rick Santorum. And actually, the bigger winner is Newt Gingrich, because of Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum would just get out of the race. He would just get out of the race. And him and his supporters would consolidate around Newt. You see, Newt would have beaten Mitt in the... You didn't hear that. But again, the spin was on yesterday. Well, you see, in Virginia, Trump only won by 4 points. And if you take the Kasich vote, and you apply it to the Rubio vote, well, voila, Rubio wins Virginia. And now it's a whole new ball game. Whole new ball game. It's a whole new ball game. Nobody ever uses that psychology with Cruz and Trump. Nobody ever said, you know, Ted Cruz was not in the race. All those votes would go to Donald Trump. And if all those votes went to Donald Trump, we're talking blowout. We're talking blowout. Because let's face it, and I've said this before, Cruz voters are very similar to Trump voters. Rubio voters are the least like Trump and Cruz voters. I mean, Rubio voters, well, let's put it this way. Do you realize Rubio didn't even meet the 20% threshold to get delegates in four states? Some of these states had to get 20% of the vote in order to get some delegates. Rubio didn't even get 20%. He didn't get it in Texas. He didn't get it in Alabama. He didn't get it in Vermont. The Rubio voter is least like Trump. So when people play the whole, well, if this person dropped out and then go here and vote, why don't they say that about Trump? Why don't they say that about Trump? Why don't they say, you know, if Cruz voters, I never hear it. I never hear it. I never hear someone go, you know, we should be thankful. When you hear them talking about putting together this anti-Trump coalition, this super PACs, millions and millions of dollars to go after Trump. You never hear anybody say, hey, we should be thankful Cruz is still in this room. We should be thankful that Cruz has not gotten out. Because in theory, Cruz's only chance was last night. The map going forward for Cruz doesn't get easier, gets harder. We start going away from the southern states. We start going away from the heavy, heavy population of evangelicals and start going into territory where Cruz right now is polling Rubio territory. The territorial that Rubio was polling and finished at in, say, Texas and Alabama is what Cruz is polling at in Florida, in Ohio. So it doesn't get easier for Cruz. And for Rubio, I mean, there's absolutely nothing there. I mean, seriously, there's nothing there for Rubio. Rubio doesn't win in the South. He's not leading in any states. Rather, it's Ohio. Rather, it's Michigan. Rather, it's Florida. He's not leading anywhere. So the people should be saying in their little spin rooms, if Ted Cruz got out, that would be signed, sealed, and delivered. Signed, sealed, and delivered. If the Cruz supporters had a choice between Trump and Rubio and or Kasich, that 15 to 20% that Cruz has in the different states would all go to Trump. And that would put Trump in some places over 50%. Well over 50%. And it's amazing. Nobody uses that reverse. They only use it with Rubio. They only use it with Cruz and to a lesser extent, Kasich. So let's get back to the states. I just wanted to throw that out there. So it didn't slip my mind. Didn't want to slip my, at times, a foggy mind. So, you have Texas, which Teddy wins. And let's face it, we all knew he was going to win it. I mean, that wasn't a surprise. We knew Teddy was going to win Texas. He had to win Texas. Money there. And interesting little factoid. The Super Tuesday states. You want to know how much money was spent? And it kind of says something once again to Trump and the support that Trump has and what it means. And even when you hear the other spin, which is, the Rubio attacks are working. The Rubio attacks are working. Look where Rubio was. And look where he finished. Virginia. Look at Virginia. He almost won. See? There was a time when Trump was way out in front in Virginia. So the attacks are working. And then you have to say, well, if that theory is true, if you're really pushing that theory and you want to cling to that theory, what's your explanation for Texas? Because obviously the attacks didn't work in Texas, considering Rubio didn't even meet the 20% threshold. What's your explanation for Alabama? Rubio didn't meet the 20% threshold in Alabama. What's your theory for Tennessee? He didn't meet the 20% threshold, or my bad, he met the 20% threshold by a point. But Trump had 38% of the vote. Rubio had 21% of the vote. So if the attack ads and the wetting the pants, the Ku Klux Klan, the con man, if that Don Rickles routine from Marco Rubio is working and you point to Virginia and say, see, look, he almost won. Well, what's your explanation for Tennessee, Texas, Alabama, Vermont? Because it didn't work there. Is it Virginians? Our only Don Rickles, Marco Rubio shtick fans? I mean, what's the reason? Seriously, Tennessee, Rubio got blown out. Alabama, Rubio got blown out. Texas, Rubio got blown out. So you can't sit there and try to paint this picture of attack ads and the Don Rickles routine is working. Because Virginia is the only place that Rubio had a shot. He had a shot. And he came up short. He came up short. And between Cruz and Rubio in the Super Tuesday states, they spent over $10 million in attack ads against Donald Trump. $10 million. That should be a wake-up call. That should be a wake-up call to all of these poor, and I know to say poor to a bunch of millionaires and billionaires, but I'm not saying it poor as in no money poor. I'm saying it poor as like suckers. Like poor, unsuspecting rubes. And that's what they are. Their hatred for Donald Trump is blinding their judgment. So they are listening to people that are going to make money. I mean, let's face it. All of these super PACs, all of these people involved with these super PACs, like the Katie Packer, a girl who worked with Mitt Romney. She was part of Mitt Romney's team. This Katie Packer and that Liz Marr. All these people that are creating these PACs and pitching all of these millionaires and billionaires and saying, give us money, give us millions, and we're going to run ads, create robocalls, create fly. We are going to do all of these things to stop Trump. You hate him. You despise him. Well, give us the money and we will stop him. And when you look at the ad buys for Super Tuesday, and all week leading up to Super Tuesday, we saw the ads that were being used against Trump in all these states. You couldn't get any more. $10 million worth of ads. And what do they have to show for? Nothing. Nothing. So you have Oklahoma, Alaska, and Minnesota. That's it. That's what they have to show. Like I said, Texas doesn't really count. It counts as a win. Again, can't take anything away from Teddy on that, but he's a senator there. He has a ground game there. He has a built-in machine. So all the attack ads in the world didn't matter. They really didn't. They had early voting in Texas. Everything was there for Cruz to win. So they spent $10 million to basically win Oklahoma, Alaska, and Minnesota. And let's face it, Minnesota, come on. Jesse Ventura was the governor, not taking anything away from Jesse the Body, but Jesse the Body Ventura, Al Franken, okay, and Walter Mondale won the state. He did, Walter Mondale. Remember Walter Mondale? Guy who got blown out? He won that state. So, Minnesota. I mean, they're pretty close to Canada. Some say they are Canada light. So, if anything, it's a failure for Cruz not to win Minnesota, considering they are Canada light. Cruz is from Canada. But, but I digress. So the attack ads equaled close to $10 million. Trump spent $1.5 million. Imagine that. $1.5 million. $1.5 million. Remember, guys, I want you guys to remember this. The establishment doesn't hate Trump because of his views. The establishment does not hate Trump because he says Planned Parenthood does good things for women's health, but abortions are bad. I will defund Planned Parenthood as long as they do abortions. Listen, the establishment doesn't care about that. The establishment doesn't care about gay marriage. The establishment doesn't care about all these things that they say they're outraged about as it pertains to Trump because he's not with them. He's not a real conservative. When you hear people like SC Cup and other puppets, we want a real conservative. It ain't about a real conservative. If they wanted a real conservative, in theory, they would back Ted Cruz. I mean, in theory, if all of these talking heads and all these establishment bigwigs really wanted a staunch conservative, they would be backing Ted Cruz. They wouldn't be backing Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio is not a staunch conservative. He's not Mr. Constitutional Scholar. I mean, seriously. For all of these establishment players, it's about money. That's it. It's about money. It's about cash. It's about jobs. And it's the fact that Trump, his candidacy, and everything about him does not put money in all of these people's pockets. I mean, just, again, look at the ad spending. $10 million for Super Tuesday between Cruz and Rubio, and $1.5 million for Trump. Now, that money goes to ad makers. It goes to teams. It goes to teams of people. When they do the robocalls or they do the flyers that tell people they'll go to jail if they don't vote, all those things have people involved who get paid. Consultants, ad makers, ad buyers. The list goes on and on and on. And you have a guy who's not being part of that. You have a guy who's depriving all of these individuals of money. Remember, politics is not about creating this utopia for the American people. Politics is about keeping everything at status quo. And every so, you inch a little forward or you inch a little back. Every so, you move a little to the left, and every so, you move a little to the right. It's a business. It's a billion-dollar business. When you hear in 2012, in 2008, in 2004, when you hear people rattle off those dates and say, in this election, $1.3 billion was spent. Think about that. $1 billion was spent. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that get a taste of that $1 billion. I mean, you heard that report. The super PAC that Jeb Bush had. Was it Mike Murphy? I think that was his name. If it's the wrong name, I apologize. But the individual that was running Jeb Bush's super PAC made millions of dollars. And it was a failure. Jeb Bush was a failure. So you had all these people give millions and millions and millions of dollars. They created ads. They created flyers. They did whatever. The people that ran the super PAC, they made millions. And ultimately, Jeb Bush lost. But the people that were part of the PAC all won. They all won. And not a small win, but a big win. If you run a super PAC and you have a candidate and the candidate loses, it's over for them. It's finished. It's done. Over. But if you just made $3 million, $4 million, that's retirement money. Seriously, that's not picking up a $40,000 paycheck. So Rubio and Cruz spend $10 million on Super Tuesday. Trump spends $1.5 million. Trump wins huge. Cruz and Rubio don't win huge. But the PACs, the people involved with Cruz and Rubio, make out like bandits. And now you have all these people getting together hitting up billionaires, hitting up millionaires. Meg Whitman, she ran for governor out here in California and lost. She got blown out. It's amazing that all the people that are trying to stop Trump are all people that are losers. It's like losers are involved with all of these groups. Rather, they're old Mitt Romney workers. It's like they're all losers. I mean, that should scare the hell out of these people. And like I said, the notion that, oh, they're millionaires and billionaires. They got money to burn. No, they don't. They don't. If the Ricketts family had money to burn, the Chicago Cubs would be awesome. Okay? If the Ricketts family had money to burn, the Chicago Cubs would win the World Series every single year. You know why? Because in baseball, there's no salary cap. So in baseball, you can spend as much money as you want. Ask the New York Yankees. Ask the Boston Red Sox. The Chicago Cubs and the Ricketts family and that whole empire had money to burn, the Chicago Cubs would be the greatest baseball. They would be the Yankees, but they're not. They all have budgets. They all have budgets because they all have lifestyles. They all have million-dollar houses. And utter hatred. It ain't about the country. Oh, if Donald Trump becomes president, he's gonna... It ain't about that. It's a power game with all these people. It's a power game with them and ego. And it's a money game with all of these people that involved with that because they want to get paid. And they don't give a crap about Donald Trump because at the end of the day, they know that no president. I mean, look at Obama. As horrible as he is, he can only go so far. Congress, that's who the power is. Congress. That was the point. Our founding fathers basically created a system that was about not winning. Our founding fathers created a system that made it impossible, literally made it impossible for one side to really win. So now these people, these PAC people, are getting the rickets and these other big money donors, and they're saying, all right, here's what we do. You're going to give me $2 million. You're going to give me $5 million. So they're going to get probably $20, $30, $40 million. The Katy Packers and all of these cretins are going to get millions of dollars. They're going to pay themselves, of course, because they're consultants and they're running the super PACs. They're going to score. The Ricketts family and these other millionaires are going to feel good because they are going to stop Trump. And ultimately, nothing's going to happen. Trump is going to keep winning. They're going to be out millions. Trump's going to win. The Katy Packers and the other losers are going to buy boats and they're going to buy cars, and ultimately life will go on. Life will go on. And maybe there will be a brokered convention. But let's face it, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but let's face it, that ain't going to happen. Like I said, it ain't about the face of the party. It ain't about, do the Republicans really want Trump to be the face of the party? It will destroy the party. It ain't about that. Republicans don't care. They don't care. No, Democrats don't care. Nobody cares. Okay? It's about winning. It's about winning. You might have to say something in public so 30 or 40 Twitter trolls don't blow up your account. But ultimately, it's about winning, and it's about money. And let's face it, there would be a whole different attitude if Trump was giving money out. Think about this, how everything would be different if Trump, in the beginning, would have went to Karl Rove, because Karl Rove is juiced in with Roger Ailes and Murdoch. It said, Carl, I want you to run my campaign. It'd be over right now. It'd be over right. If Trump had the Karl Roves and a couple of the other political operatives, it would be over. It would be over. Everybody would be out. Everybody would coalesce around Trump. And he'd be getting ready to pick his vice president.